We also don't believe that we're the 144,000 like the Jehovah Witness call. But we are grafted in.
Yes.
We are one of these tribes. We are one of them, and we'll see it as God has been teaching this church. There is one saved people,
right?
Jew and Gentile together. The same gospel for them is the same gospel for us. Believe, and God's grace will be upon you. So there's you see how the genealogies that Curtis is, this is a wonderful job he's done. But the genealogies of the 12 tribes and how they interact, how they come in and out of each other. And I didn't realize it. He said, this one here where they set up the tabernacle, there's actually 24 elders that surround that, which are a picture, I believe, of 24 elders on an angelic host that surround the throne of God, because they're already clothed. They're already right in righteousness, and they cast their crowns before him. We don't cast our crowns before him. So this is a good, I think this is going to be a great study. It really, it's detailed, it's deep, there's a lot to it, and I think it explains a lot about the millennial.
Yeah,
amen. About the, you know, who the 144,000 are. So I just wanted to start with what we've been, most of us have been taught. These are comments by the so-called scholars, and you guys know where it comes from. So this, I would just read a couple of these. I'm not going to spend too much time. I was going to bring those books in, but they're just way
I'm
down.
I'm glad you didn't. We know.
Yeah, thank God, right?
It's a snowy day. You would have lost track.
Yeah. So probably the most popular and widely circulated interpretation about the 144,000 are futurist is the futurist dispensational view. According to the scenario, the 144,000 will not make their appearance until during the last 7 years. Or the 3.5 years, as some say, of this age. It is claimed that they are Jewish Pauls. So this is the theme. They're Jewish evangelists. Right. Jewish Pauls, and will preach the gospel of the kingdom to the world after the church is raptured. That's Tim LaHaye.
Right.
So John MacArthur says they are a powerful evangelical missionary corps of redeemed Jews. That's John MacArthur. The 144,000 will convert to Christianity after the secret rapture, Chuck Missler. Their mission is to evangelize a post-raptured world, David Jeremiah. But the context indicates that they will serve the Lord as evangelists and will be Jewish evangelists to the Gentile world, Jimmy DeYoung. So this is the common theme. Yeah, I just was chasing it. This is what they're all saying. Chuck Smith, Larkin, Schofield, Peter Ruckman. They all say the same thing, that this is a bunch of Jewish people that are on the earth right now, that God has set them aside, and they are going to evangelize the world after their pre-trib rapture.
Which is really funny. That's not what the Bible says.
It doesn't say that.
No. I just skimmed through it real quick, chapter 7. It says nothing.
It says nothing about them evangelizing.
Yeah.
It doesn't say, you're right.
Because I got an A.
That's right.
From Liberty College there when I repeated the regurgitation that was put in me, and spit it back out.
Well, and the point is, the reason they need this group of people evangelizing, because in Revelation 7:9 it says a great multitude which no man can number of every tongue and nation came out of great tribulation. So we can't be there for that. So they need a group
before.
Of people evangelizing them, which now is all of a sudden going to be Jewish people.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. Like Curtis says, we're going to look at it, and I did. I planned on starting in Ezekiel 40, because it would have went along with the whole theme that we've been going for. But I do believe that God just moved this in a different direction. We're going to use this, but God kind of moved it in a different direction. So we're going to start with, where do we find 144,000?
Revelation
7. So we're just going to start there, and we're just going to read, and we're going to let the Bible teach us what it says. We're just going to pick it apart. We're going to take our time with it. And there's so much that's going to come out of this. This is a great teaching. Okay, so Revelation 7,
I think you just start in one.
Yeah. Yeah. And we are. We're going to end up going back to this because this is key, too.
Yeah.
So I don't want to touch this yet because we're going to end up coming back to this because this is going to lead us to Revelation 14. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the tree, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. And then you'll notice Dan's not mentioned. We're going to get back to this. But like Curtis said, there's a key here is we're told that the earth is not going to be harmed. The sea is not going to be harmed until these. So just think of that. When is the earth harmed?
Day of wrath.
When he burns it up.
Yeah.
So what is the sealing? And what these guys will say, the dispensational will say, well, that's receiving the Holy Spirit. It's not. It's don't forget, look what it says here. Having the seal of God, of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice, and angels hurt not, that was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God. Where?
In
the forehead.
Right.
Okay, this is key. This is key. Did you want to say something?
Well, it brought to memory when David had numbered the people and God was about ready to punish Israel. And he said, I want to fall into the hand of God because God's merciful. Right? But before that judgment, before the plague came, there was an angelic host with an inkhorn that went in amongst the people and he marked the people that should not be hurt with the plague on their forehead.
That's right. So then the sealing is written, God's writing his name in your forehead. You already received the Spirit before you can have his name in you. So what is this writing of the forehead? But, you know, once again, before we get to Revelation 14, look at 13 through 17. This is the same event with the 144,000. And look what takes place here. So here's the key to what is really going on here. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? So what just happened? It's a resurrection, right? They're arrayed now, okay? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed the robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's a resurrection. When? At the end of the world, right? Okay, therefore they are before the throne. Remember that. They're before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them any more, any heat. For the Lord which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and he shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What event is this? It's the day of the Lord, right? When he comes, we're resurrected, and he's saying to this group here, says, don't hurt the earth until we write. So let's look at Revelation. Turn to Revelation 22. What is this writing of the forehead, writing in the forehead?
So by saying the same event, you're saying the same day.
Right.
Because they're actually going to be killed in order to be resurrected.
Well, here's the point. I think they're already dead and in their place.
The 144,000.
Yeah. And don't forget, it says in Revelation 7, these are men. Right. It says in Revelation 7 that who are these that came out of great tribulation? He says, all nations, tongues. So that would include Jewish people, too. Females. Right? Because you're only having men here.
Right.
So all the nations, everyone's getting resurrected here. And there's a key to who these people are. Revelation 22, 22:1, and he showed me a pure river of life. Think of timing here. A clear as crystal proceeding out of the throne of God of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street on either side of the river was there a tree, the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and that the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse.
Amen.
But the throne of God, there's the throne of God, and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So this is the same event that we just read in Revelation 7. They're serving him before the throne. And so here it is, verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. So this is a resurrection. His name was written in their forehead. Why? Because we're seeing his face. You're not going to be able to see his face until you're resurrected. Yeah. And verse 5, sound familiar? And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You notice it? Kayla, did it say for 1,000 years?
No.
It says forever and ever.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going to say this about the 1,000 years. The only time it's mentioned is when it's in comparison in Revelation 20 to Satan and his people being punished. That is the only time that it is mentioned that there is a 1,000-year reign. And the only place it's mentioned is in Revelation 20 where Satan is being punished and Mystery Babylon, who are Satan's people, are being punished, thrown into the pit. Everywhere else in your Bible, it says when Christ comes, he reigns forever and ever. So the punishment is them in the pit for 1,000 years. Okay, we'll get more into that. So look at Revelation 2. So is this just Jewish people? Is Revelation 2 just Jewish people? Talk to the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
2:17. Nancy, you want to read Revelation 2:17?
Yeah. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth.
So, there's a living stone. You're going to be given a white stone. We are called lively stones,
yeah.
Right? So turn to 1 Peter.
Not a finger.
Yeah.
Keep a finger here. Move
yeah, keep your finger in Revelation. Yeah. 1 Peter. And Doug, Ephesians 2:19-22. So 1 Peter, where am I? 2? 1 Peter 2, we're going to do a little reading here. Wherefore, 2:1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desiring sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, and ye have tasted this, if so be ye have tasted that the word that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. But ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house unto a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him should not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders have disallowed, the same is the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, wherein he speak against you as evildoers, that you may, that they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So what did he call Jesus Christ? He called him the living stone. What did he call us? Lively stones. What does he say in Revelation 2:17? You're a white stone, and I'm going to write my name and the city of my name on you. This is a resurrection.
Go ahead. Interesting, too, because that's John, Peter, and Paul.
That's right. That's good.
They're separate witnesses.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
Okay, Ephesians 2:19 through the end of the chapter. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
So you can see that we're a building. Mm-hmm. But are we a brick and mortar building?
No.
No, we're something that we don't understand yet. Right. And it's a building, and it's built upon the foundation, the cornerstone. Mm-hmm. And the foundation stones are the apostles and the prophets, right? And we are the stones that make up the building. Lively stones, not brick and mortar stones.
You are the temple.
It's right.
You are.
And if you're a white stone, Curtis, you just got resurrected.
Yeah.
That's a resurrection. So here, you see where I'm going with this? Because they've seen that word sealed, and they think it's the receiving of the Holy Spirit. It's not. It's the receiving of a resurrected body. Revelation 3.
I think one of their big problems is everything to them is of the physical world.
Yes.
They really want to look at the spiritual world.
Yes.
Which is the real world.
Yeah. They will never understand this because they're trying to understand these things according to this world.
Right. Thing, the Truth Project that we watched here, everybody tries to see God on the inside of the cup.
Right.
But he's outside the cup. He made the cup and all that's in the cup.
Right.
So if you try to imagine God and his work only from the things you see on the inside of the cup, you'll never get the proper vision of who God is. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, he lifts us outside of that and opens up our knowledge, our wisdom, our understanding to see the things that are not inside the cup.
That's right.
But the eternal things which dwell out and around the cup.
Here's what I think has happened. We say these things are spiritual, and to us the spiritual is a dimensional. It's real. Yeah. They don't think the spiritual is real.
Yes.
They don't think it's a real place. They just think they're allegories or types or, you know, it means something else that it doesn't really mean. But this is, look, we're a building. We're a temple. We're posts. We're pillars.
Yeah.
I don't understand what that means. But I know it means something deeper than we understand in this realm.
And yet you'll have people that they call preterism. They'll allegorize
Everything.
Yes. So again, over context.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because there is a physical application, there is spiritual. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. And it's going to take place, Kev. Mm-hmm. It's going to take, and like you said, the preterists, we've never mentioned the preterists here. They believe all these things took place.
It's all allegories, all spiritual.
And for 2,000 years now, we've been in the 1,000-year reign of Christ.
Oh, I've heard
and
that.
Satan
so
is bound.
I think the whole book of Revelation will spiritualize.
Yeah. The 10. Yeah. But the 10 horns, well, those are the 10 Caesars that ruled over. You know, you really got, once you start making stuff up, you really got to start making, going along with this.
You can
that takes faith.
That takes a lot of faith to believe that.
Okay, so Revelation 3, 11. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. What is your crown? It's a resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
It's a resurrected body.
Yeah.
Okay. To him that overcometh. Overcometh what? Nothing? Right? A preacher of rapture, you're not overcoming anything. You're driving, singing, you know, Amazing Grace in your truck, and all of a sudden, poof, we're all gone.
Yeah,
you didn't overcome anything.
And your truck veers off into a schoolhouse and kills all the kids.
And make sure you leave a Bible track on the seat, you know, so the 144,000 can grab that and go evangelize the lost Gentile world.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Come on.
He that overcometh, will I make, I'll put it this way. He that overcometh tribulation.
There you go.
Will I make a pillar in my temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. See, this is not... You're already sealed. You have the Holy Spirit. You don't have heaven. Yeah, I know you kind of do it. You have it in there. But this is literally when he appears and he comes down from heaven with the city of Jerusalem. And we're going to have a new name. Thank you, Jesus, because I think I've about worn this one out.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know how much more I could defile the name Tom anymore. I thank God we're going to have new names. But what do you see where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm.
This is what they misunderstand. They see that word sealed, and to them, that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And there's 144,000 from each tribe over. They don't know who they are. You know, I've heard this before, too. Well, you know, God knows who they are. Okay, but he reveals everything by the prophets to us. And God never said that in the last days they were going to be known by their tribes. Yeah. Ezekiel 37 and Zechariah says, they're going to be known as one branch in the last days. So God makes it clear that they're not going to be saved by the tribes in the last days. That's why, to me, Gayla, you already see where I'm going with this. These people are Old Testament saints, 12,000 from each tribe that have already died and gone into heaven, waiting for the resurrection.
Because they've already received their robes.
That's right.
They were part of when Christ went down into the earth.
That's right.
And gathered up gifts to the captive.
Revelation 6, before the seventh trumpet, the sixth seal, there are people and robes are given to them.
Yeah.
They're not clothed. They're given. And he said, how long, Lord, does thou avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Wait, there's still more people that are going to be martyred. Mm-hmm. And then the next chapter is Revelation 7, where there's people being resurrected. There's only one resurrection,
right?
Clearly. And when does God put it? The last day.
The last day. Right.
But can there be another last day after the last day?
Well, all of the scholars, you know, all of the scholars say, no, you forgot about the secret rapture.
Yeah. Oh, did I bring that up in that? One of these guys said after the secret rapture.
Yes, okay. And the thing struck at my mind.
They're just copying from each other.
Right.
They're not studying the scriptures like we're told to study. Right. They're just parodying each other, looking what this guy said. He writes it down a little differently, but he's saying the same thing.
The same dog returns to his vomit.
That's right.
All right. Somebody regurgitated. Somebody else eats it up.
Thank you.
have a pleasant breakfast.
Okay, you turn to Revelation 14. I'm going to read one more here for you. Isaiah 56, 14. You don't have to turn there. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs. This is interesting because they are virgins.
Right.
Right? So thus saith the Lord. Let's go there first. Revelation 14.
No, Isaiah 14 or Revelation?
Revelation 14, yeah. So here's the 100. I've heard one of these guys said this is a separate group.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're not a separate group. It's the same people. So Revelation 14, 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. So what just happened? So they got resurrected between Revelation 7 and here, they now have the name written in the forehead. So what is about to happen to the earth? It's about to be destroyed,
right?
Okay. Okay, and I heard a voice from heaven is a voice of many waters and a voice of great thunder, and I heard harpers harping their harps, and they sung a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn the song but the 144,000, which were past tense, redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women. They are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whatsoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Boy, so, you know, there's so many things I could jump into here, but we're going to break these verses down line upon line. So, Revelation 14:1. Do we need to do this, Mount Zion? We know where it is, right? Is it here on the earth?
No.
No, it's not. Hebrews 12:1. We're just going to take our time through this. Hebrews 12:1, Amanda. 12:1 and 2. And then 22 and 29. 2:29.
Okay, Hebrews 12:1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
22 to 29.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
You're nice, Amanda. I got to learn from you how to read.
She's like a teacher, right? Homeschooler or something.
So we're going to chase this here, too. There's a lot of chasing here. This is where I believe God led me. But look at all these verses here. 1 and 2, it says, you know, that we're compassed about with a cloud of witnesses. You know, Jesus coming in the clouds. We're the clouds. The clouds are white. We're the clouds that he's coming in. And then it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When? On the last day, when he comes. He says, once more, he's going to shake not only the earth, but heaven. That then we're going to receive a kingdom that cannot be removed, for our God is a consuming fire. So you see how all these things tie together. So there's a shaking that's coming, right? Mm-hmm. So Revelation, once again, we're looking at timing here too. Revelation 6:12. And I beheld, and when he opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So, you could just see he's going to shake the heavens, he's going to shake the earth, and the earth is going to be removed. He's going to replace this earth with the new world. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So Hebrews says he's going to shake everything, and the only thing that's not going to be shaken is things not made with hands, which means you're going to be resurrected, and you can see he's going to destroy the earth at that point, and he's going to pour out his wrath on his people. When? At the shaking. Look at Isaiah 2.
But they know that's happening.
Absolutely.
They won't turn.
And you can't get away from him. You cannot. I can't remember where else it says they're going to run and they can't hide. Isaiah 2, Gala 10 to 12, and then 17 to 22.
Sorry. 10 to 12. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low.
Okay, so 17 and then 17 to, what did I say?
I don't know.
22. Oh, hang on a second.
Okay.
So they want to tell you that the day of the Lord is the seven-year period, right? That's what the pre-tribbers, the dispensationalists, they want to tell you that day of the Lord is the seven-year. But wait a minute, it says that the Lord alone is going to be exalted in that day. That seven-year period, who's being exalted?
Yeah.
Antichrist. So once again, that destroys their idea that now you could spread this out, the day of the Lord is a seven-year period. He alone on that day will be exalted. Right? Make sense? Okay, so 17 to 22.
And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of?
These women can read.
Amen.
It's a homeschooling thing.
30 years.
I have 31 years.
You must be a homeschooling mom, too.
31 years.
31 years. That means that young lady down over there that's a homeschooled student is going to have the vocabulary of a princess.
But they're just the way they read well.
Isn't the saying, though, when they're brought there for Armageddon, they don't want to be there?
That's right.
To hide from.
That's right. See,
they're not there to fight. That's right.
And that's it, too. What pre-tribbers don't realize is there's going to be a harvest of the unbeliever, too. They're going to be brought to Armageddon, all of them. And there's going to be a great slaughter, and that's where the victory is won. It's not just the mystery Babylon, the world and its system. It's the devils, right? The stars that fell from earth that we just read, they're coming down, and you have the group that's coming up out of the pit in Revelation. He's bringing them all to Armageddon, and he's going to defeat.
Just like the flood.
Yes. Yeah. So I mean, who sees this? Everything is pointing to this day, including these 144,000 who are going to be resurrected. And I think you guys already see where it's going. They're us, and we're them. And we'll prove it as we move on. We are not replacement theology, if anybody's listening. We are grafted in to the tribes. Okay, so Revelation 13, 6. Oh, yeah. 6, Revelation 13, 6. Hallelujah, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be made faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid, pains and sorrow shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth, and they shall be amazed one at another, and their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, with wrath, fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy some sinners. Sinners. All sinners.
Oh.
They're out. They're of out of it. For the stars of heaven.
Huh? You said 13:6. Where are we?
13. We're in 13:10 now.
Okay.
For the stars of heaven and the constellations therefore shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened and its going forth, and the moon shall not cause.
Are you in Revelation?
No, Isaiah 13.
Oh, we're all in Revelation.
Isaiah, I'm sorry. I was still in Isaiah 13.
Okay, Isaiah 13.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're working through Isaiah. And then we're going to Luke, just okay. In case anybody wants to head right. To Revelation. And then we're going to Luke 21.
Okay. So can you start that over?
Because this idea that people are going to survive this. Okay. 13:6. Hallow ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands shall be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth, and they shall be amazed one at another, and their faces shall be as flames. There are two women going to give birth that day. Heavenly Jerusalem and Mystery Babylon. There's a resurrection of the righteous and a resurrection of the damned. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel with wrath and fierce anger. Are we appointed to wrath?
No.
So we just got pulled out of here, right? To lay the land desolate, this is where I was going with this. And he shall destroy some of the sinners. Doesn't say that, right? Sinners, if he's destroying sinners, sinners are sinners. There's a separation here between sheep and goat, wheat and tare. There is no gray area. Therefore, out of it, for the stars of heaven and the constellations, therefore, shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Sound familiar? And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy and the proud to cease. So it seems to me it's going to come to an end, their world, right? And I will lay low haughtiness of the terrible, and I will make man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the gold wedge of Ophir. Gold Ophir is the purest gold on the earth. But we're even going to be purer than gold. Right? That's how we're refined. We're going to be purer than gold. And therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth and shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. So you have a whole bunch of people hiding and running and hiding, and then you have a remnant that is waiting. And there's going to be a burning, a destruction of the earth, and a resurrection here. Luke 21. 25, Dave, you want to read?
Sure. 25
to
33. Where are we
here? Luke 21, 25 to 33.
And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And when they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Okay, so everybody reads better than me. That's what I got from all of
that. Well, you haven't gotten down here yet. So don't count your chickens.
It's a homeschooling day.
Okay, so I mean, you see what's going on here? Yeah. Right? I know I'm redundant, but everything points to the second coming. Everything. Mm-hmm. You know, men's hearts failing because they know. You know, when you read through Revelation and they see these things happening, they don't repent.
Right, yes.
They curse him, and they curse the people in heaven.
Hide the cliffs of the rock, and they curse.
Yeah, they're cursing him.
I don't think they can run.
Yeah.
Because a woman in childbirth cannot run.
You're right.
So the only thing they can do is just have something fall on them to hide them.
You know, and... Yeah. God's got some pretty good aim when he fires down hailstones.
Oh, he does.
He can take people out.
Ask those armies.
That's right. And that's what you're seeing. On the day of the Lord, the final wrath, on that day of wrath, is hail coming down. And I think he's aiming at people.
You know what keeps people from doing that which is right? Is their pride.
Yes.
I cannot admit I was wrong.
Yeah. Yep. They can't come to their senses that I've been wrong
about.
People
do that all the time. They'll destroy themselves in their pride.
But you know what, Doug? I'm seeing this in the Christian community. I'm seeing this with Christians that say, you're wrong. We're not appointed to that. God's not going to beat up his bride. They're digging their heels in. You know, after everything we've seen, especially these last 2.5-3 years, they're still, we could be gone any second. We could be standing here, studying Revelation, and poof, we're going to be gone. And make sure you leave Bible tracts everywhere.
Well, you know who reads the Bible and believes it. That's who God is speaking to.
That's right.
He tells you about your pride.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
So verse 28, we will see this.
More about
what when you see these things. But you know, Gayla, what's it say? It says... Then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of great glory. And when ye see these things come to pass, then look up. Then lift up your heads, your redemption. Who's our redemption? It's when he appears in the clouds, right? But look what else it says. 31. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh. So the kingdom is coming. We're not going to be living on some earthly, worldly kingdom. His kingdom is coming, and then he makes it clear. You know what I've noticed? Every time he talks about, not every time, a lot of times when he talks about the second coming, he mentions heaven and earth passing away. There it is in 33, the same context. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. These are the same words he uses in Revelation when he says the mountains passed away. Mm-hmm. When? At his second coming. Okay, I had one more, Haggai.
Oh,
you know that generation thing that they used back in 1948 and all that?
Yeah.
But that's not the context.
It's
here.
Not.
The context is, he's just saying, when you see these things come
that's
to
right.
pass.
That's
so
right.
This is...
Yep.
All at that time.
Well, they want to tie, you said it perfectly. They want to tie this, well, a generation is 40 years. And then when they came out of, the reason they do that is because they see the fig tree. Mm-hmm. And they say the fig tree is Israel. But is that what he's talking about here in the fig tree? he's not talking about that. First of all, he says all the trees, not just the fig tree. So the what he's talking about here is when this fig tree starts shedding, these things are going to take place. But they want to say, well, the fig tree is Israel, and the generation is 40 years. They got into the land in 1948. Christ is coming back 1988, so I'm going to write a book, right?
And then you got Jesus.
And then that book, why are you selling a book in 1988 if he's coming, right? And then he has to retract and write the book why he's coming in 89, right?
So if now, you really cared, would you sell it?
Yeah.
Put it out everywhere?
Yeah. So, if you're really a man of God, would you give it freely? Right? So that didn't happen. So now they have to turn a generation from 40 years into 80 years. So now 2080 is coming.
The guy who wrote it was from NASA.
The space guys?
Yeah.
Oh, that explains that.
There you go.
You mean the ones that are looking for portals? You're really going to the moon. They're looking for portals where they can enter into the dimension in NASA.
To the moon, baby. You're the greatest.
All right. So, very good. But like Doug said, they don't even understand what a generation is. You study the word generation in the Bible. The generation of the earth was 6 days.
Yeah.
Adam's generation was 930 years, right? 14 generations from this guy to this guy, right?
It's when they die off.
This is the people that are alive at this time that are going to die. It's when it comes to that comes to an end.
When the World War II generation, the soldiers died.
Yep. That's right. They're never going to understand this because, like Doug said, their foolish pride won't allow them to say, you know what I've been taught at the Dallas Seminary? It might be wrong. They can't be wrong.
I don't think they read the book. They're reading everybody else's
book. Everybody else's book.
Exactly.
Dr. Seuss. Okay, so Haggai. Is it Haggai?
Haggai.
Or is it Haggai?
Haggai.
Haggai.
T-U-Y guy. Yeah.
Okay, so 2. One more shaking here. 2:6-9. Okay, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and Jesus Christ shall come. Right? And I will fill the house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. In this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. So this is when they came back and they rebuilt the temple, and the people who saw the first temple saw the second temple, and they were weeping and crying, right? Saying it, but yet he's saying that this latter temple, which is not the one that they built when they came back, he's pointing to a future temple, which is us. Right? It's going to be greater than the former house.
Right.
Even greater than Solomon's.
Yes.
I love it. The Bible, man. Okay, so 19-23. Thank you, Jesus. 19-23. Is the seed yet in the barn? We're the seed. Heaven's the barn. Yea. As yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree, so you have trees here, have not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel. Now this is tying into what we've been studying. Speak to the Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Did that happen? No, it didn't. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee a signet, a sign, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. So Zerubbabel laid the foundation. He wasn't there at the dedication. I know what you're right. saying. Mm-hmm. He was there when they brought the instruments.
Yes.
He laid the foundation of the, but he's not there. He died mm-hmm. before they did it, before it was finished. Yep. And yet God is saying, that one that I'm going to finish that right. one that you laid. So the one laid is an earthly one,
right.
us. Yep. We're the earthly temple, but yet this is not going to be the greater temple. The greater temple is when you're resurrected and you are a white stone. See how it's all coming together? No wonder God had us study that, because mm-hmm. this all ties things together. This is why, like Lance right now is going, he's starting end times. He's studying end times, he's studying Isaiah, and he's starting to see these things. And God will ties all these things together. Was there a legitimate second coming, second building of a temple?
Sure.
It's yeah, but it's not the real one.
Right.
Everything points to Jesus Christ's first coming or his second coming.
And even the second one was covered up by a man of wickedness.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Zerubbabel's temple was covered by Herod's temple.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the thing about Solomon's temple is the glory of the Lord mm-hmm. came and shined
yes.
on it.
Yep.
That never happened.
No.
That never happened at the second temple Herod's temple.
Yep.
But it says that there's going to be a greater glory mm-hmm. in this latter temple. And what gets out in the latter days? There is spirit.
There's spirit.
And what comes with it? A resurrection.
And I saw the New Jerusalem descending from heaven as bride adorned.
And what are we?
We're
the bride, and we're a heavenly city.
And we're not made with hands.
That's right.
This foundation's not made with hands.
This is great, man. This is great stuff. So back to Revelation 14. So we're going to look at another. There's so much meat in here. There's so many rabbits to chase, but what it does is it opens up your scriptures for us to get a greater understanding.
And, just real quick, I know we've always called them rabbits to chase. Let's change that to scripture.
Absolutely.
Because we ain't chasing rabbits.
No. Yeah.
Everything that's brought up in this group right here, I truly believe the Holy Spirit has made individuals seek into different places through his word that the body would be edified.
I agree.
And something just came over me right there when you said we're chasing rabbits. I've said that a million times. Mm-hmm. I've got to change my vocabulary because this is so much more than catching a rabbit.
We're led by doctrine.
Amen.
We're led by
scripture. We're chasing doctrine through the word, through the doctrinal book.
All these things, like, I mean, just this little study we just did now. Have you learned a lot?
Yes.
I have. And I've been doing this for a long time. I keep learning, and it's him. We're not chasing rabbits. It's him leading us.
You're doing it the way he said it.
It's right. That's right.
Yes. Compare scripture.
And let the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. teach.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
That's the way to do it.
So the next one here is a new song. Verse 3. Revelation 14:3, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. Okay, let me just read it. And before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So, is this just for 144,000 Jewish people, this new song? Well, look at Revelation 5. And like I said, I think what God has taught us here that is unique is that there is no difference between them and us. We are grafted in with them into the vine. So Revelation 5. Paul, 8 through 10.
8 through 10?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Never mind. I got it highlighted here for some reason. Revelation 5, 8 through 10. And then we're going to go to Psalm 40. So let me just read this. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, sound familiar? The four and 20 elders fell before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. Who? Not the elders. The prayers of the saints are singing a new song. So there it is. Is this a different new song? It can't be. And they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy," saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us." Mm-hmm. Right? Now he's talking to us now.
Yep.
Redeemed us is what he just said about the 144,000. They were redeemed, right? Where am I?
Every kindred?
Yeah, go ahead.
For thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
4,000 years?
I think it
says reign on the earth. It doesn't stop, it doesn't
right,
say
it doesn't.
1,000.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, like I said, you keep reading, you keep mm-hmm. studying this in Daniel and Revelation, it says forever and ever.
Right.
It doesn't just put a date on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Four. That's the dimensional. The nation is the fourth one, right? Mm-hmm. Would Israel be included in that?
Sure.
Would the Gentiles be included in that?
Well,
absolutely.
Every, how many is every?
That's right, every. That's right.
Every.
Everybody, the believers, not the, you know, that's another thing I need to learn.
Right.
Everybody's going to believe that day.
Oh, yeah.
The saved, the blessed, I'll say the blessed, in Revelation 20 calls us the blessed.
The blessed. Yeah.
They're the ones that are going to become this nation.
And also the cursed will believe.
That's right.
Everyone who does not believe, I've said it for years, there is not one person in hell that does not believe that Jesus Christ is king.
That's right.
And there ain't one.
Bonnie,
so
Marie?
The finiteness is passing away because it's all every. There's no more numbers.
Correct.
And it's forever, so there's no more time.
Right.
Like it's all all passing away.
And it's all pointing to one event.
Mm-hmm.
Not gaps. Go ahead. Bonnie, Psalm 40, 1 through 9. Now, just think this, you know, we read the Psalms, but think end times right here.
Yeah.
1 through 9?
1 through 9.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy
righteousness. We're good.
Okay.
Very good, Bonnie.
She must have been homeschooled.
Yeah, everybody but you and me.
Yeah.
I mean, so you see, first of all, who's talking here in, you know, 7 through 8? Jesus Christ. And he's saying, I came in the volume of the book to do God's will. You know, and I would say that too, that there's a new song that the saint is going to, because he's clearly the rock in verse 2 there, right? So he's not speaking there. He's the rock and established my going. So this is us now that he had put a new song in my mouth, right? So that what is it? I don't know what the new song is, but there is a song in my heart right now that praises God, that I can't sing. You know, it's fascinating stuff, right? And it's going to become real. So you can see their new song can't be any different from our new song.
No.
Right? It's the same new song.
Stations were one people.
That's right. So that 100, it says that that new song is for 144,000. So can't that has to go beyond just a number,
right.
144,000.
Well, it's interesting because I was just doing a little bit of math stuff while y'all were reading
ciphering?
Through ciphering my gazintas. And so out of the three descendants of the Levites that are around the temple that served in the temple, they pick out 24. But there's actually, out of those people, when they were done, there were 6,580 numbered by Moses. All right? That's how many there were. And then if you add another 8,560, which is the total of the Levites and everything, comes to 15,148 peoples. But only 24 of those people served at any one given time. You know,
so it's a picture of the heavenly.
It's a picture of the heavenly.
Yeah,
so
it's a picture of
the
heavenly
priesthood. But he's only talking about 144, but it actually spans over 15,000.
So the earthly represents
the
heavenly.
Heavenly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Kev, Psalm 98.
Psalm 98?
98?
Yes.
I have 98.
Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness that he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise.
Yes.
Sing unto the Lord with a harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for it cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall be judge the world and the people with equity.
Mm. Okay, now you people are just showing off. So, the verse 9, what's he doing? He's coming to judge.
He's coming to judge.
And he's coming to when? On the day of the Lord. You know, like I said, okay, I apply this right now in my life right now. Mm-hmm. But I can look at this as a future event too.
Yeah.
Look at Psalm 149. And then there's something we're going to chase here, and we'll probably close up here with this song. Psalm 149. Nancy, you want to read again? Because
mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a lot of reading. And then we're going to go to Revelation 15 and Exodus 15. This is going to be great.
Ready?
Go ahead, dear.
Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
Do you see it? He's going to destroy them. They're not allowed in our kingdom. They're not allowed to live with us in his kingdom. He's going to destroy them. And we're going to sing like we've never sung before.
Mm-hmm.
I got to sit in the front because I don't want to apologize to the people in front of me when I'm singing.
Yeah.
So I don't have to apologize to anybody when I'm singing. But I sing with my heart.
There you go.
You know what I mean, imagine the fullness of this.
Yeah.
The music that we're going to, we just think about entering, and we're going to be sitting by a tree, you know, by a river. There's so much that comes with this coming kingdom and everlasting life. Exodus 15,
So verse 6, a two-edged sword in the hand.
Yeah, thank you.
That's the word, right?
That's the word of God.
To execute vengeance.
Yeah.
And where do we see the two-edged sword, Gala? Revelation 19, when he's coming to Armageddon.
Well, there's right? that, and Ephesians,
that's right.
The word
yeah.
is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah, and it yeah. says that yeah. Babylon, the harlot has a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
But it says he has a sharper than
right.
a two-edged sword. Yeah. So she's got a two-edged, she speak with forked tongue.
How?
Okay, so this is going to be good. Exodus 15, but turn to Revelation 15 first.
I love the way you do that.
Hey, this way. No, turn around. Go back.
No, go over there. One thing I'll say is you learn your way through the Bible.
That's
here,
the truth.
Right?
Revelation 15.
Okay, so 15, I'm going to stop at 3. So I saw another sign. Everybody there?
Yep.
15?
15:1. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass. There's a sea, there's God's wrath, mingled with fire. We've talked about this. And he had gotten victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name. Stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glory thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony was open.
In
the temple is now open.
Yeah.
For the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Exodus 15. He sings the song of Moses. So I thought, what? Lord, where's the song of Moses? Listen to typology in your Bible.
Is
it?
Well, it's first mentioned in Exodus 15.
Yeah.
You know, when they come across the...
If you see something there, let me know.
Huh?
If you see something there, let me know. In Psalm. I think you are right.
Psalm 90, I think it is.
But I think when you compare the two, you're going to find them very, very similar.
Yeah.
So, look at typology here. 15:1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel the song unto the Lord, and spake, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Who's the horse and his rider in Revelation?
It's the Antichrist.
It's the Antichrist, right? He is thrown into the sea. Don't forget, why is the sea red?
The blood.
I don't think that's a coincidence in your Bible.
No.
Yeah.
It's the blood. It's hell burning.
Right.
And you have a king that is leading an army that has a serpent coming out of his crown. Right? Pharaoh? He has a serpent. Who is he? He's the Antichrist, possessed by the devil. Okay. The Lord is my strength and my song. He is become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my Father God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots are angels. Pharaoh's chariots and his host, what does God cast down at the end of the host of heaven? The stars fall from heaven, and his host cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. Blood, filled with blood. The depths covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. What did God say in Revelation 17:18 about Babylon? As a millstone. He's going to sink.
Yeah.
Where are they going to sink? On the earth or under the earth?
Under.
They're going under us. Thy right hand, O Lord, thy right hand Who's at the right hand?
Jesus.
Jesus is become glorious in power, and thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed them in pieces, the enemy. This is Revelation 19. It says he dashes them with his rod into pieces. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. Stubble is what you burn and what's left. It's what Ruth? Who was
Boaz?
Boaz.
Yeah.
What was he doing? In the
Thrashing,
the threshing floor. He was separating the wheat
from the chaff.
Right?
Yeah.
They're going to be crushed to pieces. Well, see, that's what I say. When people see that he's going to rule them with a rod, they think it's some, oh, get over here, Pelosi. You know, you did that wrong for 1,000 years. No, it's a one-time event. He strikes them with the rod, and they become stubble.
Yeah.
And they blow away.
And in that whole thing, he's also separating the wheat
from
the chaff.
Yeah.
Again, with that
Boaz,
picture,
that's a picture. And who's Ruth? Ruth is a Gentile bride that Israel is going to be blessed by, Naomi. Right?
Psalm 90 is a prayer.
Yes.
Okay. If you want to, do you want to? Let me finish.
Psalm
90? Well, I mean, I don't know.
It doesn't quite tie in.
Okay.
It's not it's not the, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Where was I?
I read that too.
You were on 8.
8. And with the blast of thy nostrils, he's going to blow. What did he say in Revelation? Don't blow on the earth until we have sealed.
Right.
With the blast of his nostrils, the waters. What are waters in Revelation? People.
Nations.
They were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. Look at all the eyes here. Right? This is pride. I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied, my lust. That's an earthly pride, right? An earthly desire. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. See, I say it all the time. Yeah, the devil knows the Bible better than you, but he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Devils know the Bible better than you, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. God, they still think they can win. They still think that there's victory. They still do. And that's what God gives them to allow this battle to go for. Thou didst blow with the wind, Revelation 7:1, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them up. Was he saying Revelation 12, Kev? The earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up. Same thing. Thou in thy mercy has led forth the people which thou hast, there it is, redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The holy habitation is not on this earth. The people shall hear and shall be afraid. Sound familiar? Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. The dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, and shall take hold of them. And all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. What's he doing here? He just defeated Egypt. Mm-hmm. But he's mentioning all these other nations. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone. Thy people pass over. We're going to be over them. O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary. O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever after 1,000 years. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters and the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Okay. You see it? They're the sea. Sea is hell. When he says there's no more sea in Revelation, he doesn't say there are no more seas. There's no more rivers, lakes. There's going to be. He says there's no, he's done with them. There's no more sea. They no longer have rule or reign over us.
Any
or
authority.
It's right. There, he is done with them.
Well, the kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of our Lord.
It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be when he comes. It can't be a future event. It has to be when he comes. I got to mark something here. So we're done here. Right?
Wait, it's a good place. I got a question. So where is it where he talks about Pharaoh's chariots and his host, and you said that's angels.
Yeah.
And he cast them into the sea. And then you said the stars fallen in Revelation, they fall into the sea. So are you equating that those are angels?
Stars are sons of God in the Old Testament, right?
Job.
And the wise men that followed the star.
Mm-hmm.
He stood over the house where the child was. The star, it's Gabriel. That star is Gabriel. Stars are angels in the Bible.
God's chariots are angels.
God's chariots are angels. Yeah, absolutely. Isaiah was brought up in a chariot. It even says the chariots of God are angels, even thousands of thousands. Okay. And yeah, stars.
Okay.
I saw a star fall from heaven, Revelation 9. Who is that?
Satan.
He's a star. He's the chief star.
And they're fiery.
That's right. Yeah. If you want, I'll get you more that stars are angels. But that's what he's shaking. What did he say? I'm going to shake. The stars of heaven shall fall. I'm going to shake not only heaven, but the earth. And those things that can't remain are going to fall, so they're going to come down.
Used again with Satan's tail.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's Revelation 12. That is right. I don't look at that.
Where you headed?
Revelation 12. Yeah, that's good, Doug. Thank you. Look at Revelation 12. This is all right, right? I haven't seen you get up yet, so.
I got up a couple times. It's 5-2.
All right. Let me just read this. Just for Gabe. Let me just read this.
Okay.
And there appeared, 12:1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman that would be, right? Heavenly Jerusalem, clothed with the sun. That's her, the moon, under her feet, and she had a crown of stars, 12 stars. And being with child, she travailing and birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. So clearly,
he says it again in 9, and he then says they're angels.
Yeah, absolutely. So stars are angels. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think stars from a galaxy are going to be thrown to the earth. These are fallen angels coming down.
And they've been in heaven.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, and they have access. Okay. You know, so, yeah, they're, you know, don't forget, fallen angels and the devil have not been cast out yet. Okay. They go before the throne of God and accuse the brethren before the Lord. When they realize that they are cast to the earth and they can no longer go before him, that's when they're cast down. I personally think they come down within that 3.5 years, but they don't realize they can't go up anymore until the day of the Lord.
But the angels of Genesis 6 have already been temporarily.
Yes, yeah.
This is the same time the two witnesses do.
Absolutely.
It's all the same.
It's all timing's everything here.
Yeah.
All right, ready? Sorry, Doug. Are we good? Was that good?
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Thank you, Lord, that you're gathered a small group together here, a remnant that just believed your word. And we know it's not any wisdom or any intelligence we have of our own, but we are just people being led by a merciful God. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for teaching us the Word of God, Lord. I pray that you would use us to show the world the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I'm just at awe at how perfect your Word is, how every line is perfect. And those lines, those words, are the words of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for him. And I thank you that you've met us here once again to teach us. And I pray that you would use Curtis, Lord, to just keep preaching through that earthly vessel, the Holy Spirit of these words. Thank you, God, for being here, ministering to us, and thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.